23. And, you know, we in this church have been fervently praying for many years for a great and mighty move of God that would really cause us to break through in Scranton, northeastern Pennsylvania. I believe that this area, as John R. Rice said when he got off the airplane at Avoca, has been surrounded by devils, and that these devils are holding this area captive, and that we have been hammering this area. I think of the great Dr. Jack Hiles, and he knew about our church and my ministry, and I went with him on a couple of outings, he viewed us as hammering these walls of resistance and not giving up, not succeeding fully, but not failing either, because we've been hammering away. And we talked about football, and I mentioned the football game. I think of my football team, the Michigan Wolverines. I'm from Michigan. I root for the Michigan Wolverines. And something I noticed about that team is that they will keep on hammering the run. They will keep running the football and running into the line, and usually during the first half, that line stops them, and they don't seem to be doing anything with the run. They don't seem to be making much progress. But you know what? They don't quit. They keep running the football. Up the gut, Sarge, up the gut. And eventually they start breaking the bigger runs in the second half. And I believe they wear the team down. And I believe that Scranton Revival Baptist Church, we've been hammering the satanic opposition. And we just keep doing it. And we've done it with the gospel of Jesus Christ and with folks in this church that go out and train others to go out. So keep on hammering. And our training night is on Thursday, especially. It's Thursday night where we train others. And then we go out during the week, and we go out on Saturday to do soul winning at 11:30. And it's a blessing. So this morning, I want to preach on your Operation Victory. I believe we're knocking on doors again. I believe we're starting up a new semester to train new people. I believe that this is a time when we can look for the open door, when we can look for the breakthrough, when we can look for the big run, and we can do what the Bible says was being done in the book of Acts. And so let's turn there to Acts chapter 4, back to Acts chapter 4. And I want to preach to you on your Operation Victory. And I'm thinking you as a team, you as a local church team, and those that are part of a local church team, your Operation Victory. And I want to say four things from Acts chapter 4. Acts 4, four things. Your Operation Victory. Number one, it comes through the victory of Christ's resurrection. Let's look at verses 1 and 2, and I'll read it. You follow in your copy of God's Word. It says there, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." The resurrection from the dead. Now listen, the Pharisees were with the Sadducees, and they were part of the governing religious Jewish people that ran the city of Jerusalem under the Roman government. And you had to go through them. They were the line, the defensive line that was blocking against the onslaught of the Lord's apostles and of the Jerusalem church that was getting saved and going forward. And I want to say that these Pharisees, they were the conservatives. They were the people that did things right. They believed in the resurrection. They believed in miracles. They believed in angels. And they believed in these things. And they believed the Bible and so forth. But they added their tradition to it, as we know. The Sadducees, now they were the liberals. They didn't believe in a literal resurrection of the Lord. And they didn't believe in all that. And they were what you call sad, you see. And why were they sad? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection, and they actually helped to fight against the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. How would you like to fight against the Lord's resurrection? You might as well box the wind, you know, and try to knock it back, because they paid money to the Roman soldiers to lie and to say that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, because the Roman soldiers said, "We saw it, man. He rose from the dead. And we saw it, and we were like dead men, you know. We couldn't resist the power of the risen Jesus Christ. He came out of that grave, man." And they said, "Listen, we can't let that get out." "No, we can't let, no, too many people will turn to him. We don't want that. We're in control around here. We don't want," see, they were sad, you see. And they paid these Romans off, and, you know, money will work for you. You heard about it. Money talks and everybody walks. And they gave the money, and they paid them off, and the people went along with it. You know, it kind of reminds me of two older men. One's very much alive, and the other's like the walking dead. I'm talking about Joe Biden as the walking dead. You know, he's so corrupt. He walks, and I'm not mocking old people that can't cut the mustard, but they shouldn't be president of the United States. And he really isn't. But you see, money talks. And people walk, and the people with the money have paid to corrupt everything to get this guy to be able to steal an election from a basement. And the real anointed by God man that God raised up to be the president and got the votes, he's the one that is not getting that. And why is it? Because George Soros and other wicked rich people, you know, George Soros is another wicked rich Jewish leader with the money. And do you know he's paying off district attorneys all over the country? And he's paying off judges to lie about the election. Hey, nothing's new under the sun, amen? The Sadducees did that, and so it's being done again, and we need to recognize that there's nothing done. But I'm saying Operation Victory, amen? Operation Victory comes through what? The victory of Christ's resurrection. Corrupt money be hanged. Jesus rose from the dead. And the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem were fighting the anointed Jesus, the Christ, the Lord of glory. They knew the truth, but they tried to hide it. They tried to cover it. And they used corrupt money to try to defeat God and his resurrection power. But you ever heard of habeas corpus? It's in our Constitution. It means produce the corpse. Habeas corpus. Produce the body. Hey, you know what? They were not able to produce the body. Why? Because the body was not there, beloved. The body rose, and the body ascended, and he's alive today. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. No matter what men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. Jesus Christ is alive. And because of that, you, beloved, you can have victory in your life. You can go forward and make progress against the devil. You can make progress against the world and the lies of Satan. You do not have to cower in the upper room like the disciples did before they were convinced of his resurrection. You know, doubting Thomas and the other disciples. Listen, maybe you're doubtful, but I'm here to tell you, no, Jesus Christ is alive. And look at verse 3 and 4 of chapter 4. I'll read it. You follow. 3 and 4. It says there in John 4, "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes," you know, they got together with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas. Remember, they were the ones that killed Jesus? They got together and they said, "We got to do something about this, boys. This is getting out of hand." Now think about it. 3,000 got saved when Peter preached the sermon. Now 5,000 men are getting saved. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? Now you got 5,000 men that believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. they could lock up the apostles, which they did, by the way. They locked them up, and now they're in jail. And these guys are all gathered together to talk to them, to try to talk some sense into them, to shut them up. By the way, the devil is still trying to shut us up. Amen. He doesn't want you telling people about Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to tell that Christ has spiritually saved you. Why is that? Because, you see, he knows that if you start telling, you're going to get the victory. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the word of their testimony. Listen, they weren't just a silent group of people. They were speaking the word of God. And that's why they were getting arrested. You don't give the devil any real trouble just by living a good life. You give the devil trouble when you speak your testimony, when you speak the gospel to people. And so, hey, we just need to realize Christ is alive and he will help us, he will bless us, and he saved all those people. He saved those 5,000 people. Now listen to me. They locked the apostles up, but they couldn't lock up the risen Jesus Christ. By the way, they have locked up many of the supporters of the president who said the election was stolen. I guess that's a crime to say the election was stolen. Just like it was a crime back then to say Jesus Christ, his body wasn't stolen. He was raised from the dead. That was a crime to them. And it's a crime to say the election was stolen. So I'll just say it. The election was stolen. The election was stolen. The election was stolen. And so they're locking people up for that. And they're putting them in jail, and they're serving 20-some years and for protesting, you know. And they're doing that today. Well, that sounds to me like communism. That sounds to me like a wicked, wicked system. I'm just an old-fashioned American, you know. I'm just a born-again, old-fashioned American that believes in the First Amendment, that believes in the Second Amendment, amen, Jesse, that believes in the Bill of Rights. I just do believe it. And I also believe this book right here. And I believe that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, see, we have the victory. And not only did they lock the apostles up, they locked they want to lock the president up. They've indicted him, I don't know how many times, 5 times now and counting. But every time they indict him, it seems like his popularity grows. Every time they indict him, his poll numbers grow. Every time they indict him, his crowds grow and they went up. And didn't that happen to our Savior? They were saying, don't preach about him. Don't talk about the resurrection. You're not allowed to talk about that. No, we don't want you. No, don't talk about it. Don't you know we paid to say his body was stolen? You're not allowed to talk about it. Well, I'll tell you what. He's given me permission to talk about it. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the gospel is, I don't have a dead Savior. I don't have a Savior hanging on the cross like the Catholic Church. I have a risen Savior. And he's alive because he conquered death and he gives eternal life. And he gave me eternal life. And he'll give you eternal life if you put your faith in him. Not a dead Christ on a cross, beloved, but a risen Savior. And Operation Victory comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, you're bold. Yeah, because I've been made righteous through Christ. And the righteous are what? As bold as a lion. Amen. That's where I get my boldness from. And you can have that boldness through the risen Jesus Christ. You have the victory. And it's wonderful. And by the way, Satan knows that he was already defeated. He knows there's an empty grave there, but yet he's still fighting. And your operation victory over Satan will come through the victory of Christ's resurrection. Number two, it will come through the victory, listen, of Christ's proclamation. Look at Acts 4 and look at verse 5. I'm going to read it. You follow right through verse 8. It says there, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have ye done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel.'" Okay, they locked them up, and they now are asking them a question. That's where they get into trouble. They ask a question. And once they asked them a question, they had an apostle who was filled with the Holy Spirit and stood up and spoke up to answer that question. When's the last time you got filled with the Holy Ghost and stood up and spoke up for the Lord Jesus Christ? That's how the victory comes, not just through the resurrection, but through your willingness to be involved in the proclamation, in proclaiming Jesus Christ. And Peter, you know, you say, well, Peter, he was outgoing. Of course he stood up. No, Peter ran away. Remember, he denied the Lord three times. Remember, Peter was hiding in the upper room. Peter's filled with the Holy Ghost now. That's what makes the difference. Sometimes I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I get filled with the Holy Ghost and I'm preaching and that's on Sunday. Then on Monday, I'll say, what did I say? Holy mackerel. What did I say? I'm like ready to hide in the upper room, you know, what I said. But you know what? I just need to get refilled with the Holy Ghost again. Because you see, that is where the power comes. It's not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit. And so, listen to me. The Holy Spirit comes so that we, as we see in Acts 4, might do what? Speak the word of God in boldness. You read through the book of Acts, they were a going church for a coming Lord. They were going out there and confronting people with the gospel. I remember November the 30th, 2:30 at 3 p.m., 2023, November the 30th at 3 p.m., my father passed away as I was en route to Michigan, going through the state of Ohio. And it was a painful thing, you know, for my father to pass away. And I had on his flannel shirt, and Jesse was telling me about it yesterday. He liked that flannel. I said, that's my dad's shirt. He wore that. I wear some of his shirts. And but you know what? Even in the midst of that, I went back, and we had a big church, maybe 1,000 people, a big Protestant church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I was raised in that church, and it was a Protestant church with the gospel on ice, you know. And I was raised in that church, and the pastor asked me if I wanted to say something at the funeral. I said, yeah, I want to preach. And he said, okay. And he said, you go ahead and preach. He said, if you feel like you can't do it, let me know. And I said, okay. And I prayed about it, and I preached on Jesus is the door. To all those people, friends were there, family were there, Jesus is the door. And I put it on my father's grave, Jesus is the door, John 10. I preached on Psalm 23. And God gave me such liberty, such power to preach and to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have victory not only through the resurrection, but through the proclamation of the word of God, as God gives me the open doors. And I preached a message in this church called Behold the Man. I preached it on a Sunday night. How many remember that message, Behold the Man? And I was talking there about Jesus in a scarlet robe, a gorgeous robe, and how he had the crown of thorns and the blood ran down and they beat it with a reed and the blood ran down. And they mocked him and they'd beaten his face and probably his nose was bleeding and it was all bruised up. His back had been beaten with the cat of nine tails, and he was standing there just trembling, standing in there, you know, and he looked so pitiful to Pilate. And Pilate wanted them to let him go. And he said, behold the man, behold the man. In other words, have pity on him and let him go. But I said, you know, we look at him different than Pilate. We see him and we're sad because he was suffering and we feel bad. But we're also thankful that he stood in there, that he is the king, and that those thorny crown will be replaced by a beautiful crown in his kingdom when we behold the man. And I remember thinking, man, I preached that message in the power of the Holy Spirit. I knew God wanted me to preach it. I said, I wonder if anybody got it. I wonder if anybody thought about it. I wonder. No, I didn't get any feedback on that one. I said, I wonder, Lord. And I said, Lord, let me have some feedback, because I know I preached that in the power of the Holy Spirit, but give me that assurance. And just yesterday, a dear sister in Christ said, I can't stop thinking about that. Behold the man. Behold the man. Say, why do you share that? Because whatever you do in the power of the Holy Spirit, when you release something in the power of the Holy Spirit, like one radio show or internet show says, you've heard the transmission, you've received the transmission. Once that you transmit that word of God, it will not return void. It will have power because you proclaim the word of God. So release the word of God. I think of Charles Spurgeon. He preached his sermons and he didn't have a soul saved, but when he preached, he got a report that somebody got saved through his preaching, and it was the first person that he heard that got saved through his preaching. I'm just saying that God works when you give the gospel. I went out with Isaac the other night, and we went to visit, and we went up to Oliphant, and we visited Melvin Rodriguez up there. We dropped some candy off there for Maria, and we talked to Melvin, and he was saying, you know, as we gave him the gospel, tears began to come down his eyes. And he said, you know, my son Eli has been witnessing to me. And I'm seeing, he's telling me stuff. And you could just see the tears in his eyes. Pray for Melvin. But what I'm saying to you is, we're releasing the word. We're proclaiming the word of God. Don't stop doing that. Operation Victory is through proclamation of the risen Jesus Christ. And that's what happens. And people get saved when you do that. And the church went out to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice under proclamation, look at verse 9 of the book of Acts chapter 4 through verse 11. I'll read it. It says, if we this day, they said, be examined, Peter said, of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Praise God for that. You know, we talk about President Trump being anointed to be raised up to bring America back again to its founding. And I do believe that. I do believe we're in a time as great as the American Revolutionary War. Except it's an information war right now, and it's a war of prayer, and I believe that. But Donald Trump can be used of God to help bring America back, but Donald Trump can't save people from going to hell. Donald Trump can't give people eternal life. No group of men can. No church can. No man can. There's only one person that can heal your soul. And that's the one that was beaten and bloodied when he was beaten, that was put in the grave. But beloved, he is not in the grave. He's alive. And if you come to him, he won't cast you out. If you put your faith in him, you'll be saved forever, like happened to me as a young man. And I'm still saved today and will be saved. It's a great thing because there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Hey, confess him with your mouth, believe on him in your heart, and thou shalt be saved. And that's the message. And so we're going to get the victory through the resurrection of a living Christ, through the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And number three, it comes to the victory of Christ's demonstration. I want you to see, you know, people demonstrate for what they believe in, and some people are going to jail. I heard of a lady, she demonstrated against abortion, and they're trying to put her in jail for decades. It's crazy. But look at verse 13 through 16 about the demonstration. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they'd been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves." And you know what? They started talking. They said, "This is tough. This guy was healed. We all saw him sit at the gate. We all saw him begging. We knew that he was like that from his birth. Nobody was able to change him. They didn't say this, but you know, you could fill in the blanks. Nobody from our dead religion could do anything for this man. And yet, when Peter and John came by, they held up the risen Christ, and this man believed, and now he's walking and leaping and praising God." You know, it's hard to argue with a miracle. And thank God for the signs and wonders and the miracles of the apostles and of that generation. But do you know what the greater works that Jesus spoke of is? The miracle of a Matt McWhorter right here, where he was. We saw him in the hospital, unable to function, and God healed him and is healing him through the stripes of Jesus. And now he's a witness for Jesus. Now he's a Sunday school teacher. Now he's a bus captain, a faithful servant of the Lord. I'm just simply saying to you, my friend, these are the miracles of the Lord. I think of Sarge back there, back in, what year was it? 1986? 88, 1988, I led Sarge to the Lord on Madison Avenue, his apartment. He took a bag and took all his junk from his old life, and he said, "I'm saved now. I'm giving this up, Pastor." And he started to follow Jesus, and he's still following Jesus and serving the Lord and helping out with our Christian school and helping out with our ministry to our people in so many ways. And it's a faithful servant of God. That's the miracle of God. It's not how high you can jump on a Monday, on a Sunday, how high you can jump in church on Sunday, although that's fine. Go ahead and jump. But it's how straight of a line can you walk on Monday and on Tuesday? And the Lord, when he saves you, he changes your life. And people can see that difference in your life. That's Eli, this kid going to our Christian school. His parent can see the difference. It's making a difference. And you are making a difference when you go out there and proclaim Jesus Christ. You are making a difference because you're following the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about victory. Operation Victory. It comes through changed lives, and the Lord will give us more changed lives. Brother Isaac, who goes out with me soul winning, he was in Arizona, and he heard like a podcast type of thing, or a recording on the internet of Pastor Steven Anderson, who was giving his testimony in the way to be saved, how to be saved, that you're a sinner, that you're going to go to hell to pay for your sin, but Christ died and was buried and rose again and is the door now, and you can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And Steven Anderson's message rang true, and he believed. And Isaac believed and was saved. And then he went to that church, which was real near where he was living. But he heard it on the internet, you know, and he got saved. And I'm just saying that now he's a demonstration. He's a demonstration of the gospel that Pastor Anderson preaches. And we have people that are demonstrations of that. And it's hard to see, dead religion can't do it. Government can't do it. Money can't do it. Only Jesus can do it. And so we have the victory through the demonstration of changed lives, through the proclamation of the gospel, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And one more thing I want to say this morning. You have Operation Victory through the victory of supplication. Look at Acts 4, verse 23. and following. I'll read it. It says in verse 23, and being let go. They let them go, amen. After they threatened them, they let them go. They went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. You know, it's great when people aren't fighting one another, but they're, you know, a church doesn't fight one another over petty things, having petty parties. You ever heard of a petty party? You know, your pity party, there's a petty party. They have their petty differences. And listen, when we're all together clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission, we don't have time to have these petty parties. We're too busy saving people off the Titanic and getting them in the lifeboat. Amen? Of Jesus Christ. And so they were of one accord. And they said, look, we're being threatened. We're out there. Hey, have you ever had doors slammed in your face? You say, no, I haven't ever. Maybe that's because you haven't knocked on any doors lately. Come on out on Thursday. We'll help you knock doors. Come on out and say, we'll help you knock doors. And you can help others. Bring somebody with you. You traitors, bring somebody with you. And get out there. But and they did that. And if you do that, you will be attacked. You will have opposition. You will, because why? You're giving the devil trouble. I want to give the devil trouble. Amen. You don't give the devil trouble unless you go through the open door that Christ gave you. You do proclamation of the gospel, and you have the demonstration of some changed lives. And then you're going to need supplication. And so they came to pray together. They were in one accord. And look at verse 29, what they said. He said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant it to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was what? Shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Do you know what? I'm so glad I got people that pray for me to speak the word of God to you with boldness. Because I'm just a shy person. I'm just a shy person. And you know what gives me boldness? It's the Holy Spirit in answer to prayer. And by the way, that's the same thing that's going to give you boldness. But you got to be willing to go. You got to be willing to step out in faith. And then you got to be willing to pray that when you go and as you go, you would be filled with the Holy Spirit, just like Peter was here, just like the apostles were. But they had to come back and they said, hey, we got to be filled again. It's not enough to be filled once. You don't mean just one baptism, one filling. You need it again and again and again. Amen? You need it again. And we need more of it. And so, man, if you're doing the work of God, you need this fresh filling. And they went back and they opened their mouth. I remember when I was helping our first pastor, Pastor Charles Ware, whose picture's out there in the foyer. I helped him plant this church in the early 1970s. And my wife and I were living at 631 Madison Avenue. I was reading in the Psalms, and I got to a psalm called Psalm 91. And it was like it fairly jumped off the page. I got to verse 10, and it really fastened in on my mind and heart. And I'm going to quote you that psalm here. It says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Lord. You know, here's a promise for supplication. He gives you that promise, but he says, if you're going to get it, you have to open wide your mouth, and then the Lord will fill it. God wants you to open your mouth. Do you think their mouths were open wide here? I think so. They needed the filling of the Holy Spirit. All right? When's the last time you've needed the filling of the Holy Spirit? Because you were committed to go out there and proclaim Jesus, but you knew you didn't have the boldness in yourself. You knew you didn't have the strength in yourself. When's the last time you committed to help a bus captain? When's the last time you committed to go out and train a new trainee to go out soul winning. When have you done that, beloved? Listen, that's when you need the boldness and the power. And God said, you open your mouth and I'll give it to you. Now, I understand that rulers in historical times, when you would travel to their country, there were these great rulers, and they would say, okay, now I want you as a traveler to my kingdom to stand there and open your mouth wide. And they'd go. And the ruler would command, and they would put all this sweet food in the mouth to be savored, delicious sweet food, and they would chew it and swallow it. Then when they did that, open your mouth again wide. And they'd stick in a ruby, a diamond, a pearl. And if your mouth was open wide enough, they'd just keep putting in precious stones. The wider your mouth was open, the more wealth you would have in your mouth. And they would fill it. That's what God is saying here. I have gold, silver, precious stones. You say, what is that gold? It's people that will get saved through your proclaiming the gospel. And that the Bible says that they went out, they spoke the word of God with boldness, verse 31. But I want you to notice verse 32, it says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. In other words, many, many more people got saved. We heard of 3,000 and 5,000 men. Now many more got saved. Listen, beloved, I thank God for everybody that's been saved, but I want God to fill my mouth. I believe that's why he gave me that promise in Psalm 81:10, that this place would be filled and overfilled, and that we would have to have two services on a Sunday, and then that we would have to send out workers to plant churches in PA in America. You say, is that your vision, Pastor? Absolutely. I am opening wide my mouth. What's your vision? Is it just your own life? Just me, and that's all I can. Or is it, I want victory. I want to help to save our nation. I want to help to change lives by proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ through his resurrection, through the proclamation, through the demonstration, through supplication. We can have the victory. And I declare to you, Operation Victory is available to you, to me, to us. If you're a trainer, bring a trainee with you, would you? Don't just bring the same person back. It's not just about you. It's about others through you. Would you get the message? If you're a saved person, would you commit your time to go to war, to give the gospel? Would you pray and open wide your mouth for the power of the Holy Spirit that we see is available, not only in the book of Acts, but for us? Beloved, it's in your court. And perhaps you're here today and you've never really believed in your heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, because it's never affected your life to wash your sins away and give you a new life. If you haven't, today I command you to put your faith in him for real and be saved. Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking.